always the consumer's advocate. We've got to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by travel journalist Suzanne Wright, who's going to share with us an amazing destination worldview adventure. So please stay tuned.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fare starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Suzanne, are you still with us? Suzanne, are you there, Suzanne?
Yes, can you hear me, Roy?
I can. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Bob and I have been on this long trip to Buffalo and the Finger Lakes, and my fingers aren't quite as nimble as they were before we left. We had a great trip, as you know, and we joined some really great people, and we had a little chat about it earlier. But in any event, I'm just so amazed by we hear Nepal, Kathmandu, the Himalayas, not just names we've all heard, but real places. And you not only did you do it on your own, but during a royal coup. I'd like to share that with our audience. This is a marvelous worldview journey.
Oh, thanks. I have to say, it really is fun at cocktail parties to drop into conversation that the sort of dramatic statement that we've all read in the newspapers, you know, bloodless royal coup. But I wish I could tell you it was more dramatic than it was. Actually, the coup took definitely a backseat to the absolute serenity and beauty of the place. Nepal is one of those sort of storied destinations that, you know, I guess, along with Timbuktu, you're right, Kathmandu is a place that you know, see references to, and it's startling to actually be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lady on her own.
Well, you know, Roy, that my shtick is, you know, I can't wait around for the appropriate travel companion. and I'm definitely, I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to discuss Nepal as a destination with listeners today, because I just received from a travel writers association I belong to an appeal from a Nepalese business owner talking about the really devastating impact that this news of this coup has had on the touristic economy in Nepal. As you know from my article, it's a very small country. The majority of the residents are farmers, and those that aren't farmers are very dependent on touristic dollars.
But there's a population of, 22 million?
22 million. It's a very, very small country and very agrarian. And, you know, for many, many years, Kathmandu was, a very legendary stop on the old, quote-unquote, hippie trail.
Exactly, and it was probably one of the biggest, in fact.
Absolutely, and in fact, one of the really great things at the end of my long journey was to find myself in Kathmandu and be able to have a Mexican meal and go to a bookstore and buy secondhand books in English.
Uh-huh, great.
It's a really marvelous destination that I think has been sort of unfairly tarred and feathered.
But you know, it's difficult. Once the State Department, you know, issues a travel warning, and it wasn't only the U.S., it was issued by a lot of countries.
Right.
And the U.K., which was one of their largest destinations, and I'm sure you probably know.
Absolutely. You know, I think a really important point that I really want to underscore for listeners today is that no tourist has been attacked during this Maoist activity. It's very much confined to certain checkpoints that are out in the country. And although, of course, we empathize with the citizenry that have been brutalized by some of this activity,
mm-hmm.
No tourist has been affected, no tourist destinations, particularly not Kathmandu, particularly not Pokhara.
Right.
So the coup, in effect, for me, was basically just a media blackout. I mean, literally business went on as usual. I did all the touring I would have done otherwise. And, you know, sadly, there just were not as many of us there to appreciate the exquisite beauty of the place and the incredible, gentle nature and kindness of these people.
I know I always get into this, and I don't know if I've gotten into it with you before, but, you know, for our lady listeners, traveling alone as a woman, how were you accepted in this country?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because most of the guides in Nepal that I interacted with, and I want to say that one young man in particular named Min, 26-year-old father of two, and I spent a few days together trekking just sort of in the Kathmandu Valley area.
Right.
And he stayed in touch with me. And you know what was interesting is they're very used to seeing women travel alone, although it's not something in their culture
mm-hmm.
where women are out and about in the way that non-Asian women would be.
Right.
They're very accustomed to, as you say, seeing British, Australian, German tourists, lots and lots of groups, but also lots of single hikers. In fact, one of the great experiences of my trip to Nepal was to be able to spend that one-on-one time with a guide and really, you know, be able to talk about, you know, how the ways in which our lives are universal,
right.
and the ways in which our lives are really different.
Exactly.
And media perceptions and you know, the things that make us all human, you know, love and life and career and goals and doing important work and being able to make connections.
And what was the reaction to all that? I would assume very positive.
Absolutely. You know, the Nepalese people absolutely love the spirited Americans that come to visit because they really feel like they have an opportunity to spend sometimes a week or more. If you're trekking out of Pokhara, which is the sort of jumping off point for the Annapurna Range,
right.
You know, it's an opportunity to spend one-on-one time with people in a really intimate way. And as you know, Roy, often in traveling, you're able to make the kind of connections that you might not make, you know, in your hometown.
Exactly.
Or back in your own country over the course of several years of friendship. There's a certain immediacy and intimacy that I think is achieved when, you know, you're slogging up a hill and, you know, you've got to ask somebody to hold your water bottle because you're panting. So there's, you know, there's a real, you know, I think this is why I travel and this is one of the reasons I love to travel solo.
Well, you know, that's very interesting because what you should say about holding the water bottle while you're panting, I just went through that in Watkins Glen when we went up to the top of the falls. I was certainly not the first one to get to the top of that. My legs were beginning to tell me that maybe you want to slow down a little here, Philip.
Exactly.
And then I got my water bottle back. But walk us through some of this, because it's really fascinating. This is a really fascinating area, as you say, and tell us more. I'm really excited.
You know, there's so much. I could spend 15 hours as opposed to 15 minutes.
Well, maybe we should do that.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what is so amazing to me is, you know, Kathmandu is a big city. It's 2 million people.
Right.
It's a large city. I stayed in the absolutely beautiful compound of the Hyatt Regency, which is sitting slightly above the city, but literally a 5-minute rickshaw ride into the city. So, you know, there I am sort of in the lap of luxury, and then within a 5-minute ride or a 10-minute walk, I can be at something called the Buddha Stupa, which is one of the most holy pilgrimage sites in outside of Tibet for Buddhists. And, you know, there, you know, you're positively enmeshed in this age-old ritual. Prayer wheels are spinning. People are walking in circle around the base of this temple. There's incense. There are these beautiful prayer bowls that are ringing out this chant that is soul-stirring. I mean, it really is soul-stirring, and you feel very, very far from a quote-unquote civilized world with traffic and waiting lines and, you know, modern governments and the challenges therein. Instead, you feel transported into something really ancient and really heartfelt. That's an amazing ritual, and to see the butter lamps being lit at night, it was amazing. And although, yes, you know, there are, relatively speaking, there are not so many faces that look like my own.
Right. A little flatter, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it was stunning. It was stunning. It's an experience that I still hold as a touchstone. I can close my eyes and I can see that. And I brought back a prayer bowl, which is, you know, this beautiful metal device that you gong with a little wooden mallet, and, you know, I can be transported there.
Well, you make an interesting comparison. We only have about a minute left, but between the Nepalese and the Indians, the look is totally different, as you're saying in here.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're able to log on to the website, I have some wonderful pictures. The people, I'm always transfixed by people, but the look of the people is incredible, and the planes of their face somewhat echo the planes of Native American faces here in the southwestern United States. But there's a sweet gentleness throughout the Hindu kingdom, which I think is balanced by the fact that they have so many Tibetan refugees, and they have so many sites that have been denoted by the UNESCO World Heritage Association organization as being, you know, living monuments to an ancient time. I there's nowhere I've been that's been that preserved, I think.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing this with us, Suzanne. And for those that are listening on the web, if you just go to Destination Worldview, or those that are listening by radio when they get home, go to our site at www.ttrn.com and click on Destination Worldview, and this marvelous article is up there. And Suzanne, we've got to run, but once again, it's always a pleasure, and we look forward to getting together with you one of these fine days somewhere here in the world.
That sounds great, Roy. Thanks again for the opportunity, and, you know, definitely Nepal is a region and a part of the world that you don't want to miss in this lifetime.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Suzanne, and bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Suzanne Wright, and it's a great article. And as I say, you can go to our website, and you can check it out. And I believe that you will find a very, very interesting journey. So I've got to go to break, and we're going to be back in just a moment or two. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by journalist Karen LaPerry. So she's going to take us to the Smoky. So hang in there, and we'll be right back if I don't end up hitting all the wrong buttons here today.